Title of my sermon today, if I can find it. Is Advantages of Getting Old. See, there was a hint in that, wasn't it, when I had trouble finding the title of my sermon. Advantages of Getting Old. Figured it'd be about a 5-minute sermon, so. No. Actually, it lasted an hour in Bodo. Of course, it was. So you never know. I was looking on the internet to find some things about getting old, see if there were anything that people had to say about the advantages of getting old. And there are quite a few things. Just narrowed it down to four different things. One thing is there's nothing left to learn the hard way. You know? Think about that for a while. The clothes you put back until they come back in style have. Come back in style. Maybe you've overgrown those, but they've come back in style. One of my favorites is the secrets are safe. Secrets you have are safe with your friends because they can't remember them either. Old age is not so bad considering the alternative, right? To think about it that way. Well, I'm going to read something in Ecclesiastes 12. You could turn there if you want to. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And in case you think this is just for old people, this will be something right here that will be for the younger people to think about. Not too many of them here in the congregation today, but something all of us can think about. Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 1 through 7. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Sometimes when we're young, we get caught up in doing lots of things and forget about God. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Sometimes we wake up and think, boy, life is not too pleasant today. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your eyes. Imagine there are some of us who could see a lot better when we were, say, 18 or 20 than we can now. I know that's true for me. I used to practice. We had a 22 rifle, and I would practice about 50 yards away, trying to hit a tin can on a fence, and I could see writing on the tin can. And now I couldn't see the tin can, you know. Be lucky to see the fence, probably. But anyway, that's the way it is, isn't it? And we don't hear as well sometimes. When I was up in Bono, I had somebody say, what? And they weren't kidding. All right. So remember Him. Before our legs start to tremble, before your shoulders stoop, remember Him before your teeth are few. And remember Him before the door of life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. You know, there comes a time in our life when it's not so easy to go down to the employment office and get a job, right? Or to work for people at the wage we'd like to have. So we remember God in our youth, and it will stick with us when we're old. So the points I would like to make, I'll start with number one. Old age is a blessing from God, and the elderly deserve respect. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. First of all, we don't live in an age when that is common, right? Second Timothy 3, verse 1. Because we live in perilous times. We live in the last days, period of time the Bible calls the last days. It doesn't mean Christ is going to return Monday or something like that, but it's a period of time where things will not get better, but get worse. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. unthankful, unholy. See, there'll be people won't respect their elders so much anymore. And indeed, most of the advertising is geared toward younger people. They're the ones that have the money to spend, I guess. A few things are geared toward the older ones. A few of those pills that they want you to take on the commercials, you know. But that's the way it's going to be in the time before Christ returns. It's kind of the way it is now. But that's not the way God wants it to be. As a matter of fact, he made a special commandment regarding that. So if you turn to Exodus 20 and verse 4, Exodus 20 and verse 12. See, this is a big deal to God, isn't it? If he made a commandment specifically addressing this one particular thing. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And Paul commented about that and saying that was a commandment with promise. And so, the way he looked at it, it's one thing that you need to do in order to have long life, is to honor your parents. Turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. It used to be that when some elderly person would come into a room, if there were some was full of people, when there was someone needed a seat, that someone would stand up and give them their seat out of courtesy. Probably not going to happen today too much. Maybe it will. But anyway, this is what it says in Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. See, that's a way of honoring older people, is to rise up and give them a seat. And fear your God. I am the Lord. So it's all part of fearing God, is having respect for your elders. Let's see, look at an example where, kind of an extreme example, where the children did not respect their father, and it was a disastrous result for both of them, and for him too. So we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is a story about Eli. He was a judge of Israel. His two sons could have been primed to take over that job. One of them could have been whenever he died, but that wasn't to be the case because they didn't respect their father. And so they did many things to cause a lot of harm, not only to themselves and to their father, but to Israel. 1 Samuel 2, verse 22. Eli was very old. Now Eli was very old. He heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You know, that God surely would not approve of that. That was very abhorrent to him. And so Eli heard about this, and he talked to them. He's an old man. You know, he couldn't do a great deal, I suppose, but he did talk to them. He said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress." You know, there were people getting upset and just didn't want to have anything to do with the temple service because of things like that going on. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. Didn't pay any attention to him. He was just an old man. It says, because the Lord desired to kill them. Actually, I looked that up, and it should be translated, therefore. the Lord desired to kill them. God didn't desire to kill them from day one, you know, when they were born. He made up his mind after a number of years, I'm sure, seeing what they were doing, their conduct. So let's see what happens. Look at verse 30. Let's look at verse 24. Well, we already did. Let's look at verse 31. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming. This is God speaking to Eli. And I'll cut off your arm. He means not literally, but his family. In the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. See, it's a good thing to have old people around, but God is saying here, there's not going to be any old men in his house. And you'll see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And God even makes it more specific. Next verse. But any of your men, whom I do not cut off from my altar, shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. In other words, they were never to be old people in his house. So it was a real shame. It was a withdrawal of blessings, wasn't it? And all because of his sons didn't respect him or God. What does God consider to be old? Let's turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, Kings and Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 29. What does God consider to be old? You think that the Ancient of Days, who's been everlasting, would not think people do live to be old. But this is what he said about David. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26. Now, David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26. David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And he made the country strong, or God did through him. And it says, so he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. Solomon his son reigned in his place. And if you look at, I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Samuel 5 and verse 4 says David was 70 years old when he died. So it was a good old age. And perhaps back then people didn't live to be real old, but David had been a man of war. He had, I'm sure, been in a lot of battles where he maybe got wounded, and he had lived a very full life. Perhaps 70 was plenty for him. Nowadays, in this 21st century, or even in the 20th century, last part of it, I think the life expected life span of human beings is more than that. I know here in the United States, it's around 80, a little over, I think, the average lifespan. So some of it's because of better care, better medical care. Perhaps we have more food to eat and a little bit more knowledge about what's good to eat and what's not. But at any rate, the lifespan has increased somewhat since then. But David died in a good old age, and so God gave David many years, didn't he? That was one of his rewards for being honoring his parents and honoring God. Turn to Proverbs, if you will, the book of Proverbs, and go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 31, Solomon has many words of wisdom. He didn't always do things that he should, but he knew what to do, at least. Proverbs 16, verse 31, it says, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. So, that's a key thing to remember right there. It's a crown of glory if it's found in the way of righteousness. Well, there are a number of old people who are not righteous, and some of them are in positions of authority in this country. But it's a crown of glory if you're in the, if you're living righteously. And in Proverbs 20, verse 29, similar thing. Proverbs 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Well, that's what, when you're young, you think you can do anything and great, a lot of great athletic ability when you're young. You want to prove yourself and that sort of thing. That's good. And it says, in the splendor of old men is their gray head. So that's what you get from living a good, righteous life. You get old age from respecting your elders and having some respect toward God. Even Christ and God have white hair. See that in Revelation 1, verse 14. I'm not going to turn there, but God has white hair. So old age is a blessing from God, and the elderly do deserve respect. Point number two, the elderly, the old people, should have gained wisdom. We should have gained wisdom by the time we're old. Turn to Job, which is right before Psalms. Job chapter 12. Job is an interesting book to read. You get some spare moments. It's really something that you have to consider and weigh and think about and pray about. But this is what Job said. Job himself, who was, I suppose, a wise man. He was the greatest of the men of the East. He had a lot of possessions, and he knew a lot of people. Did a lot of good. God even said there wasn't anything, you know, he was blameless. And Satan couldn't even find anything wrong with him. So he'd lived a pretty righteous life. This is what he said in chapter 12 and verse 12. Job 12 and verse 12. Wisdom is with aged men. Old people have wisdom. And with length of days is understanding. You stop and think about that. When we were young, there were many mistakes that we made that we wouldn't make now. You know, maybe we still make some mistakes, but perhaps not the same kind that we made when we were young. Think back to one of the mistakes I made. And my dad had given me good advice about it, and I ignored that advice. But didn't have a high school education. He just had GED, and so I think he valued education quite a bit. He read a lot more than I do. And he told me when I graduated from college that, and I have a background in accounting, he said you ought to take time to study and get your CPA. And so I thought about it, and I thought, well, it'll be another year out of my life and another year of doing without, or working my way through college and not able to save anything, not able to have anything. So I decided I'd go out and get a good job, good paying job, and buy me a car and things like that, you know. But he was right. Should have taken his advice. And yet he didn't have a high school education, but he had more wisdom than I did. And so it is, older people usually have wisdom because of their experience, because of what they've seen and done. And that's even for carnal people, you know. You get older and you get wiser. I'll look at an example of that in a minute. But Job said that the wise should have, or the old, elderly should have wisdom. Elihu was quite a bit younger. And turn to chapter 32 of Job. Elihu was quite a bit younger, but he had some insight that some of Job's older friends did not have. Chapter And I'll get to that in just a second. Job 32 and verse 7. Job 32 and verse 7. This is what Elihu said. Well, start in verse 6. He said, I am young in years, and you are very old. He's talking about his friends, Job's friends. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. See, he was respecting older people. He thought that they would have a lot more wisdom than he did, surely. And I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. And there's something here, then, that we need to understand. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So we as God's people should have a little bit more wisdom than the rest of the world. It says, great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Thought about that in relation to the Supreme Court. Here are some of the best legal minds in the land. And there are some of the older people, too. As a matter of fact, was Mrs. Ginsburg. She's in her 80s and hard to get around and things like that. So they should have wisdom. And yet, back in 73, they passed the law saying that everybody could have an abortion if they wanted to. No, and since then, we've had 58 million abortions, which is more than the population of Arkansas and several of the surrounding states. All of the surrounding states, really. All the states that border on Arkansas. And they also recently, this past year, passed a law approving or condoning same-sex marriage. Now, both of those things the Bible condemns, and God thinks are abhorrent, really. So, where is the wisdom in that? But they're old, and they have a lot of learning, a lot of understanding of the law. They're just not righteous, all of them. So Elihu's wisdom was pretty good. Now, his friends, Job's friends, thought that Job's suffering surely had to be because he had committed some great sins that he just wasn't telling anybody about. But that was not the case, was it? Because we read in there that even Satan couldn't find anything wrong with him. He's the accuser of the brethren. The best thing he could do is say, well, if you take all these blessings away, he'll curse you, or something like that. He didn't find anything wrong with him. And God said he was upright, and he was a righteous man. So, the conclusion that Job's older friends made, that Job had surely committed some great sin because he was suffering a lot, was just not true, was it? They had misunderstood. And if you read the book of Job, it's a little difficult to understand. It is. David talked about that in the Psalms, talked about the fact that it bothered him a great deal that the wicked prosper, seem to prosper, and the righteous don't always. Now, he said he'd never seen the righteous going hungry. But it doesn't follow necessarily that just being righteous and obeying God means you're going to have a life full of many blessings, physical blessings, does it? And it doesn't mean necessarily that just because somebody is wicked and does things wrong that they're going to have a bad life in this life, physical life. There's more to life than this physical life, though. And so ultimately, the righteous will prevail and the wicked will die. So, something to think about. Well, that's one example of Job's friends. Wisdom does not always come from age, but most generally it does. And here's a good example of that in 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12, the circumstances around this is that Solomon, the king of Israel, had just died. He was a very great king, very well known for his wisdom and riches. And one of the reasons why he had so many riches was he imposed a tax on the people, just like we have taxes today. Only he was taxing them at a rate that they thought was a little excessive. So, some of the leaders of Israel, I think mostly the northern ten tribes, got together with a man named Jeroboam, who was their leader, and they went to Rehoboam to try to persuade him to maybe cut the taxes a little bit. This is how it went. Starting in verse 4 of 1 Kings 12, verse 4. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on you, and we will serve you. So that was their plea to the king. Of course, he was a king, and he could do what he wanted to, but they were trying to reason with him and get him to lower the taxes a little bit. But this is what he said to them, which was a wise thing to do at that time. He said, I said to them, depart for 3 days, and then come back to me. And so the people departed. He needed time to think about it, of course, which is good. And he got some counsel, which was good. So he asked the older people. Verse 6, King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And so they said, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Now to them that sounded like good wisdom. But to Rehoboam, he wanted something else. He rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and he consulted the young men, some of his friends, who had grown up with him, it says, who stood before him. And so he was going to go with the young people. It was a change in administration, and he was going to go with his people. He said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Whoa. It's a little hard to take. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I'll add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I'll chastise you with scourges. And so Jeroboam and the people came back the third day, and that's what he told them. And this is what they said. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king and said, what share have we in David? You know, we're not of the tribe of Judah. You take it yourself. We'll go somewhere else. We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. So that's where the split came. That's the reason for the split. Now, God had determined that was going to happen, but he didn't determine that Rehoboam was going to make a bad choice. Rehoboam just made a bad choice. He took the advice of the younger people rather than the elders who had more wisdom. So that's a second example. Now here's a third example in the New Testament. Turn to Acts 15. Acts 15, we'll talk about Paul for just a little while. Paul was a very zealous man. And when he was a Jew and not a Christian, he persecuted the church of God. He thought it was a cult and thought they were blaspheming. Even stood there when Stephen was stoned and consented to it. And by his authority, he was able to round up many Christians, persecute them, throw them into jail, and some of them died. All because of Paul's zeal. But God converted him. He humbled him. And Paul became a zealous Christian. And so just as he was zealous in persecuting the church, he became zealous for the church and for God's ways. It was an amazing thing, and many people did not like that, didn't think that he had really changed all that much. And so he was persecuted by various factions. One thing that happened, we need to go to Acts 15, 37, Acts 15, 37, sorry. Acts 15, 37. So they had two of them, Barnabas and Paul, had been traveling together, and they were going to be breaking up now over something, going their own ways. Barnabas, it said in verse 37, was determined to take with them John, called Mark. It seems innocent enough, doesn't it? Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. You know, Paul was a zealous guy, and he didn't put up with people who weren't. I don't know why John Mark went back. Maybe he had a wife. He was a young man. Or maybe he just didn't like all the circumstances that they happened to be in from time to time. You know, Paul got persecuted pretty heavily. Or maybe John Mark didn't like that, didn't want to continue there. But at any rate, he left and went back. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him at this time. Paul said, "Ain't no way, you know, not going to take him." And that's when Paul was younger, but he ages. Go back to the letter to Philemon. Right after Titus and Timothy. Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy man who owned slaves. And one of them was named Onesimus. But he ran away. He was later converted into Christianity by Paul. So Paul had known the slave for a while and had seen his conversion to be legitimate. And so he's writing this letter to Philemon, his former owner, or his owner, still owner, asking him to take him back, but not as a slave, but as a brother, Christian brother. Philemon, verse 8, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting," Paul says, "Well, I can command you about this," but he says, "yet for love's sake," you know, when he was a overly zealous, perhaps, fellow, he might have commanded him to do it, but he says, "now for love's sake, I rather appeal to you," being such a one as Paul the aged. Paul had aged. He was older now and wiser in dealing with people. And now Saul's also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so he appealed to Philemon, and I don't know how that worked out. But anyway, apparently his slave went back to him and was treated better. Turn to 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. This is the last, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote before he was killed. And I think most think he is killed by beheading. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. This is what Paul says. "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, finished a race, kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And then he talks about people who have departed from him. Abandoned him, you might say. Demas, Crescens, Titus. And then he says in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." And then he makes an extraordinary comment. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Paul had mellowed with age, had a little bit more wisdom, perhaps, in dealing with others. and he was ready to take Mark back, forgive him for all he'd done. Maybe Mark had made some progress too. Mark, of course, is one of the men who wrote one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. So Paul was wise to take him back. Okay, so wisdom comes with old age. Point number three, we can serve God even when we grow old. We can serve God even when we grow old. Turn back to Psalms 92. Psalms 92. David served God in his old age, as did Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old when he had his first child, first son by Sarah. Moses was 80 when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So it's talking about the righteous, isn't it? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. So just because you're old doesn't mean there's nothing you can do. You still bear fruit in your old age. So we should be thankful for that. Now let's turn back to some the next to last book in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. This is a prophecy of God's kingdom. What does God have in mind for the kingdom? Is he going to let everybody live to be old, or is he going to cut their life short? And what are living conditions going to be like? Is it going to be safe for old people? Let's see what it says here in Zechariah chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. Well, you wouldn't do that today, would you? Not unless you were in a tank, maybe. Maybe. Each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. So they're old people. Doesn't say they were infirm. They're just old. Nope. Got to be way up. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Wouldn't do that today either. Not even around here, probably. I don't know. There's sometimes some kids playing streets around our house, I guess, but not too much because there's quite a bit of traffic there. But that's what it's going to be like in God's kingdom. People are going to live to old age, so old that they're going to need a cane or something to walk around. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of old age. I'm just grateful I haven't gotten there yet. But I might, you know. Mr. Mishnick always used to have a cane with him. He had a hip problem. But he was a good example, too. He stayed with it until he was 93. Pretty good. And even before he moved to Texas, he even gave sermons. So that's pretty good. And he still had wisdom. He was a good guy to talk to if you wanted to talk to somebody about wisdom, about a certain subject, you know, what to do. Turn to Titus, if you will, in the New Testament. Titus. Timothy, and then Titus comes right after Timothy, right before Philemon. Titus chapter 2, here's some advice that Paul was giving to Titus, who was a young pastor here in this church. Titus chapter 2 says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. So that's what old men should be like. And number three, older women likewise, that they should be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish young women to love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So it could be a good relationship between young people and old people there, that old people serving as kind of mentors to the young and giving them advice from time to time about basics of life. You know, you might not be able to advise somebody about how to use the internet, but there are more important things in the world than the internet, believe it or not. Point number four, the last point I wanted to make, God will be with us even in our old age. God will be with us even in old age. And that should be comforting to us. Should be comforting to us. David wrote in the Psalms that if, I'm going to read this, you don't have to turn to it, Psalms 90 verse 10. Days of our life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. We fly away. Now, as Peter said, David isn't in heaven, so it wasn't literally flying away. It just meant that we're gone, you know. It's like a vapor. Turn to Isaiah 46, if you will. Isaiah 46, because here's a promise from God. He's going to be with us, even when we're old. Something that we need to know. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. He's talking to Jacob and Israel, so it covers all of the nation of Israel. It applies to us in the church, too. It says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." So we have that God's word. He's going to stay with us, isn't it? And there's a confirmation of that in the New Testament in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." I think when we get old, we're not worried too much about covetousness. "Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." That's from Jesus Christ said that. "I'll never leave you or forsake you." "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Well, what can man do to us, any of us who are old? Kill us. That's it. But they won't kill us for eternity. One nice thing about being old is we know that when we die, it'll just be a split second until we wake up again at Christ's return and live forever without any aches and pains or limitations on what we can do, except for obeying God, which we already try to do. Well, Mr. Kubik sent out some information on kind of an outline on his sermon that he conducted at funeral services for Mrs. Hargrove. Of course, you remember she died at age 73. Not real old. When I'm 70, 73 sounds pretty young. But this is just a few points that he made, which I thought were good for this message. Things he thought about in regards to death and being old. said, don't fear death. Why not? Why don't we fear death? Well, if we live righteously, we expect to be in the first resurrection, right? So that would be that for all eternity. And the life we've lived here on this earth is only, what, 60, 70 years, 80, maybe 90. Mr. Mishnick's case, 93. But so I'm sure he didn't fear death at that point in his life when he died in his chair, I suppose, or in his bed. But be sobered in what it teaches us. What does death teach us? Is that there's an end to this physical life. We're not going to live forever like we do right now. And so we need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ, don't we? We need to be living in such a way that when he returns, we'll be in that first resurrection. Okay, so that's the point. Don't fear death, but be sobered in what it teaches us. We don't live and die in loneliness. Now, we may be by ourselves when we die, but it says we don't live and die in loneliness. Our life is in Christ's hands. That's what Mr. Kubik said. And he quoted from Romans 14, for none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's, right? We're in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? Remember that song? Another point he made it was, and we should heed this, make every minute of this life count. We have very few days. Now, when I was 17 or 18, man, I thought I was going to live a long time. And when my dad turned in 50, I thought he was an old guy. Because I was still young and able to do lots of things that, you know, took him a while. But it's all past now, and now I'm 70. A lot older than he was. Older than he was when he died, you know. And don't have too many days ahead of me, so I better make the most of it. Now, I will say one thing. Jeannie and I have gotten this kind of bad habit of at lunchtime, we will watch Gunsmoke. So, the reason for that is because when Jeannie was in church a long time ago, they didn't want people to watch Gunsmoke. So now she's getting to watch it, see. That's really not the reason. It's kind of, you know, compared to what's on TV now, Gunsmoke is pretty clean. And it has a lot of good morals on it. Even Kitty seems pretty nice, you know. But at any rate, so anyway, we've tried to make the best out of our time that we have left, not just waste it. And I don't think we do. When we get older, we kind of try to make the best out of our time. And the last point he made was appreciate the living. Appreciate the fact that we are among the living, I guess. Appreciate the fact that we have friends here in the church, that they're all living, and that we can gather together and associate with one another and encourage one another. Appreciate the living. Appreciate the grandchildren that we have, the children and grandchildren. So, to just recap the points I made, old age is a blessing, and the elderly should be respected. Old people, point number two, old people should have wisdom when they get older, generally do. Not in every case, but especially the righteous. And we could serve God even in our old age. We can do lots of different things, especially praying. And fourth, God has promised to stay with us in our old age. So there are some advantages to being old and in God's church.